Once again, I do desire interest in your prayers. At all. We're going to take a reading lesson out of Acts 27. It's very familiar. To do with Paul, the shipwreck. And this has been on my heart for 2 or 3 weeks. I've tried to preach on this subject a little bit through time. But I didn't know nothing about it then, and I really don't feel like I'm a whole lot further down the road now, but I do believe it to be the truth, and just not a whole lot. There's a lot said in the Bible about it, but Baptists, we have the 18 articles of faith, and we can go read them, and you can find out what we believe about a lot of things, but there's some subjects you just don't find. So you have to just study it out and preach your own convictions. And when I first come here years ago, Sister Lisa Bronner, I don't know if she remembers or not, but she wanted me to teach on angels. And I was just like, at that time I thought angels was just messengers, and they are, but it's more than that. And that's how I went about it. And then I've tried, I think, maybe one time, maybe tried to preach on it since then and learned a little bit more. But there's a song, Alabama song, I believe there's angels among us. And so I've heard, I don't know if I've ever had any kind of experience like maybe some of y'all. I've heard different ones of y'all when you're in a real deep, dark place. And Sister Connie mentioned last Sunday about being in a bad spot and just feeling a touch. And I don't know if I've ever experienced some things like maybe some of y'all, and maybe I've never been exactly where I needed to be able to do that. But I do believe in angels. The Bible, you say, well, that's not scriptural. The Bible mentioned an angel 199 times. You say, well, that's all in the Old Testament. No, the New Testament actually mentions it 99 times. Amen. Angels is mentioned 94 times, and you say, well, that's all in the Old Testament. No, the New Testament's actually 84 times. Yeah. So angels is mentioned, or angel is mentioned all through the Bible. They was created by God. In the creation, it don't tell you exactly when it happened during the creation, but he created them. So we're going to read here where the Apostle Paul, and I want to try to look at different times when people was in a place where God sent an angel. And I mean, you would be surprised how many times he sent an angel to people. He sent them in dreams. He sent them in a burning bush. When Moses was in the burning bush, if you'll go read that, the angel of the Lord, it says, was in the burning bush. So over and over, you'll find that God sent an angel for a situation. Sometimes he sent them to destroy. And he's going to send them to destroy. When Jesus comes back, he's going to bring his angels, and the angels are going to gather up the lost, and they're going to be thrown into the fire. So we realize that. There was once in the Bible, I believe it was the Assyrians over in the Kings, you'll find it over there, where God destroyed, took an angel and destroyed 180,000, 85,000 men in one night. One angel did. So God has used angels in different ways. But I want you to realize they are angels. Amen. And we talk about guardian angels. I guess I believe in guardian angels. I believe there are angels that watch over us. I believe he sends them to take care of, to minister unto us. So I've come to believe a lot more about it. I want to do a study on it again someday. I've tried all week to try to study on this, but I've not got as far, nowhere near. And you ain't going to get nowhere in a week's time, I tell you. I'm telling you, you won't get too far in 20-something years' time. But listen, I do believe there are angels among us. And I wrote down the course of that. And when I get through preaching, I want to sing this to you. I can't sing, but I wish y'all sang with me. Because I believe there are angels among us. Y'all pray for us. Paul had warned them that they should stay put in Crete. That they didn't, it wasn't the right time of year. They didn't need to leave, but they didn't listen. They listened to the centurion and the captain more than they did the man of God. And that ain't much different today than it was then. Today we hardly ever listen to what God has to say through a messenger. And I want you to realize, Brother Barry has a hard time with this, and I've heard him say it over and over. He don't believe I'm an angel, but I am. I am. That's hard, ain't it? You're looking at one. Over in the Revelation letter, over there where it says he wrote unto the angel of the church. Amen. He wrote to the seven churches, and he wrote to the angel. The angel of the church was the pastor of that church, the messenger that was to come. So I stand in front of you. If you don't believe in angels, I stand. My wife has a hard time with it. I have a hard time with it. But there are angels among us. I believe God uses people to do some of these things. I believe sometimes he takes an angel and lets them come in a form of a person and uses them. So we're going to talk about some of this. Y'all pray for us. And when the south wind, starting in the 13th verse of the 27th chapter, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosened thence. In other words, the wind just blew real soft, just like maybe it is out there right now, just calm. It's a beautiful day. Everything's good. The purpose, loosened thence, they should close and sail close to Crete. But not long after, there arose a great tempest called the Arachidon. And I didn't say neither one of them right. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, they let her drive. And I mentioned this years ago here in a Bible study about how that's the way we are with sin. Once we get started, how we just let her drive. We just continue on if we're not careful. But how going on and returning under a certain island and running under a certain island, let me slow down, which is called Claudia. We had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up and they used helps under the, in which when they had taken up, they used the helps under the undergirding of the ship, fearing they should fall into the quicksand, strike sail, and so were driven. And then being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They was giving up all hope then. And when neither sun nor stars or many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from the Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before the Caesar. And lo, God have given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me.'" So there was an angel of God stood before Paul this night. night. It said he had disappeared for a while. No doubt this man had been off praying somewhere in that ship. He'd got alone by himself in the ship and began to pray. He'd got away from everyone. He entered into his closet and began to talk to God. And God sent an angel to stand beside Paul and told him to be in good cheer, that it was going to be okay. I'm going to take care of you. And I want you to realize that was one time Paul was in a deep, dark place. I had said there had been no sun, no stars. They had no direction. And Paul knew the only hope they had was in God. And God sent an angel to him and came and talked to him there and spent some time with him. And we're going to try to look at how many times. I don't know if this one here was in a body or just a spiritual thing. How we find, we go over here in the Bible, in the Hebrews, and 13 and 2, and it tells us over there that we're to be careful about entertaining. It said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So it says you're unaware of it. So there's going to be times in our lives that are children of God, that God may put somebody or bring an angel in our life, and we're not going to realize it. We're not going to understand it. We're not going to recognize them because it's unaware to it, because they're a stranger to us. But he's going to give us an opportunity to do the right thing and how we should entertain them. Or give them, help them along the way. I've heard Brother Tony tell this, and y'all may have heard him tell it, or may have heard me tell it before. But Brother Tony, he's a mechanic, and he was building a motor, and he was going to take it down Nashville, down yonder, to have it worked on. I forget what, to have it bored, I believe it was, the piston block part, to have it bored out. And he had towards Nashville, headed down old Highway 10. He passed a man walking on the side of the road with a backpack, and he got on down there. I believe he said about that Church of Christ on the left, down there on maybe 25, and the Lord told him to turn around and go back and pick that man up. And he said, Lord, I had fixed the rain. I've got this boulder back here. I ain't got nothing to cover. I ain't got time. The Lord said, go back and get the man. And Tony turned around and goes against the man, and he's thinking he can be a help to this man. He can tell him about the Lord. The Lord had something for him to do. Tony said they start off down the road. They begin to talk. He said, I begin to talk to him about the Lord. And next thing you know, this man here has been sent to me. And he begins to tell Tony about what all the Lord had done for him and all the things, how God had been good to him. And Tony, they're right. He said, I'm just amazed at this, how this is going. He said, we get to Nashville. We're not talking about Red Bullet Springs. We're not talking about Westmoreland. He asked this man where he's going, and they get down there, he lets the man out. And guess where he lets the man out at? He lets him out across the street from where he was going. I'm telling you, God sends people in our lives. And we better be careful how we entertain them, how we treat them. I thought about how out over there it says in the first chapter, the 13th, you don't see. And it says they're spirits. Then how do we see them? God has to use them and give them a form in some way. And you say, well, Brother Jeff, how do you prove that? In the 18th chapter of Genesis, God sent men, messengers, to come to Abraham. They were angels. I believe one of them was the Lord Jesus himself. And they came and talked to him about how Sarah was going to bear a child. And then after that, they began to go to Sodom. And he left. The angels let him know that they was going there because it had come up. They're saying unto him, they was going to Sodom and they was going to destroy. These angels, two of them then, they get to Sodom. They get there. They come to the gate. They're men. I mean real fleshly men, but they're angels. And how you know they're men? Because there's people in that evil city trying to do things to them that were ungodly. God brought them into his house, and they came and desired them that they may know them. So these were angels. God had sent them in a form of a man to come there to destroy Sodom. They warned Lot and his family, and Lot had an opportunity to get out. So we know then, by the word of God, that an angel can have a form. He can. It ain't no doubt about it. That's the truth. That's the facts. We find in the scriptures where Jacob wrestled with the angel of God on that side of the brook. I want you to realize the angels come to him and told him what was going to happen to him. We find in the scriptures over and over where the angel, I want you to know when Abraham went to kill his son Isaac, it was the angel of God said to him not to do no child harm to the child. Amen. You go read it, it's in there. I want you to know he's always sent angels. We don't talk about them no more. Why? Because we don't understand them. But just because we don't understand it don't mean it ain't real.
Amen. Amen.
I want you to know the angel of God come to Mary. Talk to Mary. The angel of God come to Joseph. Talk to Joseph. The angel of God come to Zechariah, John's dad. Talk to him. I want you to know the angel of God in Acts, chapter 8, come and release Peter and him out of prison. The angel of God came unto Peter in the 12th chapter of Acts, loosed his chains. I want you to know after they released him one time, they was going to make sure he couldn't get away. They put two men, guards on each side of him, put him in chains, had him chained there. But God sent an angel, came and shined a light about it, and broke those chains and said, get up and follow me. An angel is a light. It is a God to us. We find in the scripture where Elijah, he was down and out. He was ready to quit. He'd went up against the prophet of Baal, and God sent down a fire, and then they sent out men to kill him. And he got to the point, he said, Father, God, I am no better than my forefathers. My fathers have come before me. Let me die right here. You know what God done? He sent an angel. Amen. Come down there and make him bread. Give him some water and encourage him to go on. I want you to know there's been times in my life that I wanted to quit. I wanted to just give up. I can't do this no more. It'll probably be the same. It'll be another one of them. Because I don't know nothing about this, and I feel like it'll be a mess. But he'll send something, he'll come to me in some way, or he'll send somebody like Larry. Call me on Monday morning. Yeah, he can be an angel. I know you don't believe that, Heather. Somebody like Josh will text me.
Amen.
Say, how's it going, bud? Somebody like Marty will send me a text. Somebody like Brad will call me Monday morning and say, boy, you done a good job preaching yesterday. God will send somebody away when you're in that old deep dark valley.
Amen.
I believe he can use you as an angel if you'll let him. So Elijah was there, he's ready to quit. God sends an angel. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, after being tempted 40 days and 40 nights in the mountain of the devil, what did God do? He sent an angels to come and minister under our Lord. To come and serve him and to encourage him on his way. That is exactly what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. God sent them there to encourage him. I want you to know we need some encouragement. So sometimes we see them, and sometimes we don't. Yeah. You know what has a whole lot to do with that? Is our faith. Yeah. I think a lot of us will never see them because we just don't have enough faith. There's some of you sitting out there right now saying, I ain't never seen an angel. I don't believe in angels. You'll never see one. You'll never recognize one when God sends one your way. Right. And I'd say that's my problem. That's why I've not ever been able to recognize it when he sent them along my way. I've never felt that touch at a funeral. I've never laid in my bed and felt a touch from an angel. In that song, it starts off a little boy walking home from school. He takes a shortcut through the woods. And he loses his way. An old man comes along and takes him by the hand, leads him home. In that song, it says mama couldn't see him. But he said, I knew. He said, the mama couldn't see him standing there, but I knew he was an answer to my prayer. Amen. Sometimes I think children, because of the faith that they have, they can see things we can't see. Amen. They ain't caught up in all this stuff. This is real, that ain't real. Their hearts are still tender. Amen. I'm going to take and prove to you this point in the scriptures by the word of God. Everything I'm talking about today, you go look at it. Amen. It's in the word of God. Amen. When Jacob, when he left his brother after him and his mom deceived his dad, He got Judah to a place and he laid down and went to sleep. You know what he dreamed of? A great ladder stretched from heaven to earth and angels descending and ascending up to heaven. He saw them. You say in a dream, he saw them. The one that come and picked up the mantle from Elijah was Elisha. In the 6th chapter of Kings, 2 Kings, we'll go over and read that to you. It's very familiar. Brother Sean used to stand up here and sing. Most of y'all don't know that. Brother Sean, why they call him, or why does he go by? He sung that song. What is the song? Yeah, he sung that here, but he sung some kind of country song that done really good. What was it? Yeah. But he used to come to church. He's a member of this church. And he sang a song, a great band of angels were camped all around me. And this is where the scriptures come Amen. From. And I won't tell you why maybe me and you having a hard time seeing angels. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, gone forth, behold, this is the sixth chapter 2 Kings, in the 15th verse is where I'm going to start reading. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, the host was compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, they were surrounded. They didn't have no hope. They was fixing to be destroyed and killed, and there was no hope for them at all. And they asked Elisha, what can we do? How's this going to work out? And he answered, fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Now, I want you to know, I don't believe this young man was blind. Nope. He didn't have faith to be able to see what was going on around about him. And that's where I've been over and over, sister. Here's part of your answers. I've not had faith time and time again to be able to see what God's doing around me, what has surrounded me, what took care of me. Me and my wife was talking here a while back, and I'll go on to read it in a minute. We were sitting back there in the back. We got two chairs. I told them to bury here a while back. We go back there and sit and eat it. We go back there and talk. And we was talking about all the things that I'd done as a younger man. All the places I went and got in the trouble I was in. And she said, how did you ever live to get this far? And I told her, I don't know, but God had a purpose for me. He had somebody watching over me. He took care of me. There's somebody watching over for us. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that they may see. And Lord, open the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I want you to realize when God granted him faith, over there in the scripture it says, we're saved by grace through faith, and that's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He granted this young man faith here to open his eyes and be able to see those angels that surrounded him. Maybe if we'd asked him to open our eyes where we could see. Maybe if we would just open our eyes and believe, we might see also. So I think a lot of times we don't see these things because of lack of faith. I think a lot of times we don't even think about these things. You know why? Because we don't hear about these things. I asked you, how many times do you ever hear a man preach on it? You know why? We're scared of it. It ain't no need of being scared of it. It's all through the scriptures. They're there. They're real. They're going to come back with Jesus. You know what carried Lazarus up to heaven and Abraham's bosom? Guess what it was? It was angels. They come and got him and carried him. I believe when I die, the night my little sister died, y'all heard me talk about it over and over. I watched her take the last breath. Everybody was squalling, and it was the strongest spirit of God there I've ever felt in my life. That's as close as I've ever come to being to the angels. I believe they come and got my little sister, and they took her. I tell you, I believe when I take my last breath, because God is no respecter of person, he's going to send them to come and get me. I believe by the word of God, when Jesus comes back to gather his children, the angels are going to come with him and going to gather his people. So I believe in angels. You can leave here and say that preacher's crazy. I wouldn't argue with that. But it ain't going to change my conviction. because you was willing to ask a young preacher that didn't know nothing and still don't know nothing to teach on a subject that was way over his head and still is. All through the years, I've kept looking at that over and over. Lord, why ain't I a saint angel? And he brought that scripture to me over there. Maybe you need to open your eyes. Oh, I believe there are angels among us sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, and guide us with a light of love. Now y'all sing it. I believe there are angels among us sent down to us from somewhere up above. They, you and me, in our darkest hours, to teach us how to live and guide us with the light of love. Every bit of that is scriptural. Every bit of it. A little country band from Alabama sung a song that most of us preachers ain't got enough nerve to preach on that was scriptural. That's my thought. You don't have to believe in angels if you don't want to. You can leave here and say I'm crazy. That's okay. But I believe in them. He put them all through the scriptures. He even sent them to our Lord and Savior. You know who rolled the stone back? Amen. It was an angel. You know what they done after he rolled it back? He just sat down on it. He rolled the stone back, then he just sat on the stone and said, come on, come and see. Amen. You know when they got there, what they saw inside the grave? Two angels sitting there waiting for him to get there to tell him that he's gone. But he's coming back. Angels among us. Ain't it good?